We'll be headed to the stage of World Cafe Live for a set from Guster of a new album, Easy Wonderful. Ryan Miller, Adam Gardner, and Brian Rosenworcel recorded with Joe Passapia, who has been a member of the band for a while, but are joined today by Luke Reynolds, who has taken over for Joe playing live. Easy Wonderful was produced by David Kahn, who is known for his work with the Bangles, 415 Records, Regina Spektor, and others. But the band later switched to recording at Joe Passapia's studio. And I asked the band about the time it took to produce this new album, Easy Wonderful.
Well, first of all, we toured until like 2007, October.
At least a couple years, right?
Yeah, we basically tour. So, you know, usually it takes us 3 years to make records. We tour for two and then we take a year to make a record. And this one we toured for two and it took us two. And some of that was we kind of hit some speed bumps on making the record, and some of it, we all had kids, our first round of kids, and now second round is upon us. So it was, we made the first half of the record with, David Kahn in New York City in January of 2009. And then we kind of finished up, at Joe's studio at his house in Nashville at the end of the year of 2009.
Now, I've been reading there were kind of some existential crises along the way. Before we talk a little bit about working with David Kahn, who is certainly a very well-known producer, and I wanted to find out a little bit about that relationship. You came to a point where you were really doubting what was going on and it wasn't fun, or what was the situation? Brian, I know you were in a conversation with Ryan about that.
Yeah, the David Kahn thing started out really good. We did pre-production and he had a lot of good ideas and we were really encouraged because he was hands-on in a way that we weren't used to, but we were excited about. And basics went well, and then we got into overdubbing and things kind of went south. I think he's more accustomed to working with solo artists who need direction and need someone to really, you know, commandeer the reins of the project, and that's what he's good at doing. And with our band, we have a lot of opinions. We could all be producers in our own right, and it one by one, we just kind of walked off the project until Ryan was the last one there.
Well, it did sort of work that way.
Now, what does hands-on explain, a hands-on moment?
Well, it's just, I don't know.
Hands-on his keyboards playing horrible, horrible sounds. I mean,
I don't think he would. I don't even think he would try and defend himself on that one. I can kind of like, if we like zoom out on the whole thing, is you know, there's a lot of alpha members in our band, and there's basically four songwriters, there's basically four producers, we basically all play every instrument, and so it takes a long time for the Venn diagrams of our things to line up, and we have this needle, and then you put another person in the room who also is incredibly, you know, is also incredibly alpha and is sort of, you know, put in charge of it, and somehow that has to overlay our Venn diagram, and if he's not willing to give, and if egos, it just became one of those things where it just didn't work because not enough people were sort of willing to move to the middle, and the middle that would have resulted wouldn't have been something we were happy with. So, you know, I think we don't really, he's a really difficult person to work with, and I don't think that's a slam on him. I think there's a lot of extremely talented producers and artists and people in the universe who are hard to work with, but it just didn't work for us. And it might have worked in a different permutation. It worked a lot better when just he and I in a room. He was sort of a lot more amenable to suggestions and stuff. And it's just a really, really complicated process to be in a band, period. And you throw another wrench in that, and if you're not all figuring it out and willing to make it work, it just doesn't work.
Not the first time you've worked with somebody as high-powered as that. I mean, you worked with Steve Lillywhite.
Yeah, well, I mean, we did our record with Lillywhite, and he is a gigantic ego, and it's so playful and so amazing, and it's the kind of ego that builds everybody up, though. And so, and it was a little bit different with Kahn because it ended up being a little bit destructive in the end, and not just, it didn't even just really sink the sessions, it kind of sank. And this isn't really his fault, but it kind of sank our confidence in just moving forward of just like, what kind of record did we just make? And are we any good? And do we want to play music together? I mean, we constantly have to ask ourselves this question after 15 or 20 years of being in this band is there's no real momentum behind it. You know, we have to create the momentum every single time. So when you were referencing before about some of those conversations didn't even really happen in the studio with Kahn. They happened 6 months later when we were still kind of looking at our hands being like, what are these for? Like, how do we do this? Like, do we even want to play music together? So it was a real, but there's a real redemptive sort of VH1 Behind the Music arc to this whole thing, because ultimately we said yes, and then we kind of broke the bones and reset them, and then we went into the studio with Joe and kind of shut out all outside influence and made a really great record. I mean, I think it's a good record.
I will second that. It just sounds absolutely fantastic. And I'm wondering if any of maybe the big concepts that Khan was going for were things that you guys decided to interpret in your own way. On this
I mean, there's no doubt that David's fingerprints are all over the record. And half the songs we cut basics with him. And, you know, I think that what we've kind of figured out is everybody has a lot of ideas, and only 15 or 20% of them are great if you're lucky. But if you insist on all of your ideas being on there, then it turns into brown very quickly. So once we were able to kind of pick through what we had done with them, we were really, really happy. And we started off, it really kickstarted the whole process, was sort of starting with the really difficult part, being like, all right, we have half a record here.
Well, and you went and worked with Joe Passapia, who was a member of the band at the time, and has always done a lot of production ideas with you guys. But now he decided to sit out this tour or do other things. And Luke Reynolds is here. How did you hook up with these guys?
Let's see. Well, actually, 2003, I'd been living in Nashville for 4 years at that point and had just put Blue Merle together and just gotten a booking agent. And we were still on food stamps and slugging it out. And our very first tour that we ever got was opening for Guster. Now stepping back like 6-8 months, I'd actually met the guys at a recording studio called Sound Emporium in Nashville out in the lobby when they were making Keep It Together and Blue Merle was cutting our first demos. And we just, you know, we kind of broed down then. And so, and then this tour came together, and so we opened up for them, and to have, like, you know, that was my first tour experience, and, you know, kind of always held the guys in this really cool place. It's like, you know, oh, those are the kind of guys I want to hang out with on the road. Those are, that's the kind of community and family they have in their whole crew and their camp. And then over the last 8 years, we just kept in touch. We were all friends. Some of us worked on songs together. Some of us recorded together. And it was like really natural and organic. And then also, you know, in addition to all that, Joe and I have become really, really close friends the past 8 years and worked on a bunch of stuff together. And so, when they asked me to join earlier this summer, I was trying to figure out what my next step in music, because I've been doing it full time for 12 years. And at this point it was something similar. It was, what do I really want to commit to for like this next stage? I didn't come into music with any contacts or any family hookups or anything. Like I kind of slugged it out all on my own. And this was something that without the slightest bit of hesitation, I knew absolutely, like, yeah, this is something I can totally commit to and stand behind. And here I am.
It's funny that you should mention that, kind of being at a life-changing point. And I'd love to maybe the rest of you could talk about it a little bit, because having kids makes you kind of decide, what the heck am I, you know, doing? And life gets a little more serious. And Ryan, when you were at that moment, you were going, oh, my God, what am I going to do? Are we any good and all that? Do any of you have a fallback position? Do any of you, if you were not musicians, what would you do?
One person does.
I'm also a surgeon.
Adam's probably best set up. Adam and Joe basically had the best parachutes out of all of us, I think. I don't know. I don't want to speak for you, Brian. Well,
Joe built a studio at his house in Nashville. And when you hear someone built a home studio, you think of like a basement with like a board and some gear. He built like the nicest studio in Nashville.
It's like a 2,500 square foot building.
It's like the most beautiful place, and it sounds amazing. I honestly think that there will be like classic records recorded there for years to come, and it will become like the preeminent Nashville studio. I think they built it from scratch. He and his fiance Jenny like Googled, how do you drywall? And then they built that amazing studio.
And not only does he have something to fall back on, he fell back on it in the middle of our tour, which was good. I mean, Joe actually didn't even like technically leave the band. He wanted to take a pass on this tour. So we have every intention of making music with him in the future. I don't know. I mean, Adam's environmental work is pretty heavy duty, and that's been a full-time job as you've been in our band too. I don't know how much you want to get into that, but
Did I mention I'm a surgeon? Yeah. I mean, yeah, for sure. But, you know, the reality is when you're on the road, with the exception of these first few weeks, now that the record's out, we're busy with promo and stuff, but there's time on the road to do work and, you know, with cell phones, internet, and all that, you can be at the quote-unquote office. If you want to, for sure.
Absolutely.
I miss out on some local adventures, unfortunately, but, you know, I go into what the guys call the Reverb Chamber, because the name of the organization is Reverb, that my wife and I started. I go in the back of the bus and hook up the computer and the cell phone, and everyone knows that that's my office for a couple hours during the day.
but to sort of, you know, back up, I think, you know, as playing on the alpha thing, I mean, I think we're all pretty capable individuals, and it's not like one of those things where you're like, oh man, I'm out of the band, what am I going to do? I have to go work at McDonald's. I think we're all pretty employable people and could figure it out, but there was definitely that moment. I mean, there's a little bit of that fear when you have kids and you have to worry about scholarships and savings and mortgages and all that. But thankfully, we never treated our band as our job. And it was always in this separate thing of being like, all right, well, it's got to pay the bills. But it's always had this sort of, it had the separation. So that moment when it happens, I think you kind of get scared, but I don't think we made the decision to sort of we never made the decision to be in the band out of fear.
Gotcha. Yeah, that would be bad.
That would be bad, and it would be very evident. I think you can tell when people make music from a cynical place, and hopefully doesn't seem that way.
No, cynical is not a word I've ever actually used with Guster. Well, let's go to the stage. Let's hear some of these performances. These are new songs from Easy Wonderful, and thank you guys for hanging out.
Thank you.
Guster, our guest today here on the World Cafe.
Hanging on the wall. stars, arteries and veins that feed your heart. From the Dairy Queen to the head of the parade, in a blink your life could change. This could all be yours someday. This could all be yours someday. This could all be yours someday. Stood right in my way.
this mortal coil, the end is near. Stay with me, Jesus, bow my head and pray. You've come down from heaven to keep me safe. You've come down from heaven to keep me safe.
Live on stage at World Cafe Live, Guster with Do You Love Me. Their new album is Easy Wonderful. And big thanks to the band for joining us live today.